start off in prayer. And thank you all for coming this morning. Oh, this is a privilege. Anytime the Lord let me tell anybody about him, it's a privilege. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day, Lord. We thank you for being such a great and mighty God, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your mercies that you show us, even those that we don't see, Lord. We pray now, Lord, that your word will be put forth today, Lord. Help me to be a witness of you. Use me, not just not be of myself, but of you, Lord. So I thank you in advance, and I pray you'd open ears and hearts to hear and to see you, Lord, and to know who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're going to do, I Have Decided. We're going to sing that song. I sing it all the time. That's my throwback song. I figure everybody knows that one. Do we know that song? Okay. I was going to do Stop and Let Me Tell You, but I forgot the little thing in the middle. I got them mixed up. And I talking to my wife, and I never stopped to see what it said. So, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Where Jesus leads me, I will follow. Where Jesus leads me, I will follow. Where Jesus leads me, I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Amen. All right, that's just to get us, you know, we're supposed to praise God first before we start anything. And today it's going to be a little different lesson that I'm going to do. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do something that probably most of you already know. I'm going to mainly just talk about the Bible for the first half of the class. The second half, it's a... There's a story in the Bible that I've been working on to try and do. And it's, you probably heard about it before. It's about Jabez's prayer. So that's going to be the second part. But the first part, because I found out when I grew up in Sunday school and in church, you know, they taught us there were 66 books in the Bible. Everybody doesn't know this. And they're Christians. And they said they never got this in Sunday school. So guess what? I'm doing y'all just like I do my kids. The first 39 are the Old Testament. Didn't they call that the Torah? And the last 27 are the New Testament. Now, I'm going to break it down to you because I learned when I was a kid, you know, you were supposed to, we had to know all 66 Bible, 66 names of the Bible, you know, every book in the Bible. I can't do that now. I want you to know, but when I was a kid, I could because we had to. And not only did you have to know what the books were, you had to be able to find them. And they did what they called sword drills back then. You had to open it up and beat it. You had to beat everybody. But now, I find that there are new Christians that have no idea of how, like the Old Testament is broken up into five categories. Does anybody know them? I know them because I got them written down. Right. The Pentateuch, that's the first five books. Penta means five. It's the first five books which Moses wrote. Then you have the history from Joshua all the way to, Ruth? No, let me see. I got it written down because I'm not that smart, I told you, to Esther. That's all about the history of the Bible. Matter of fact, it's more or less the history of Israel. Okay? Then you have the books of wisdom and poetry. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Songs of Solomon. Those are wisdom books. You see, when I got saved, the first thing I did was I tried to read the word, and I struggled. So I went to Proverbs first because I said I want the wisdom to understand. And then after you have the books of wisdom, you have the major prophets, which are the ones that this is actually the order that they come in. It starts with Isaiah, and it goes all the way to Daniel. And these are called the major prophets. Then you have the minor prophets. And that's, I have to look because I forget. That's Hosea to Malachi. The only difference between the major and the minor prophets, when they say this, is not about the intent of God's word in it. They're major because they're larger books. They're minor because they're smaller books. Every word of God is valuable to us. Every word that he wrote, he wanted us to hear. A lot of us have never, I don't know if anybody in here has ever read through the Bible, because I've been doing this since 1988. And sometimes I still struggle with the names and the different things that are in there. But I found that a lot of people that have grown up in the church don't know these things. They don't know about the books of wisdom. They don't know the Pentateuch. They don't know the history of Israel. You know, they don't know about the major and the minor prophets. You tell them a major prophet, they're going, who is that? Why is he major? Was it something God said better to him than somebody else? And then you go into the New Testament. And it's broken up into two things. It's into, you know, you got the gospel, which is the first four books. And the rest of them are, hope I can say this right, because I mess up the words. Epistles, something. I tell you I mess it up. I just told you that. So help brother out. I need help. This is participation. This is Sunday school. We're learning. And see, I do need help. And I just want to go over a few things because people don't read like the Old Testament. See, when I got saved, I read Proverbs. I read Ecclesiastes. I read Song of Solomon. And then I went to the New Testament. And I read through it. And then I went to the Old Testament. And all of a sudden, everything started being clear. See, Jesus came to actually show us a better way to understand God's word. Because God was not, like a lot of people think God is up there, and he's an angry God, and he's got a white beard, and he's up there talking, oh, you did wrong. They already knew you was going to do wrong. He sent Jesus to give us the grace and the mercy we need to survive this. Now, why do you need to read the Pentateuch? Good question. Nobody ever asked this. But you need to know. See, when I got saved, I didn't want to know part of God. I wanted to know all of him. You know, you read in the, it tells you this in the beginning, God created. It tells you man's fall. It tells you how Noah had to build the ark. One of the first prophets. They say Adam was a prophet, but I believe one of the first prophets was actually Noah. Because he went around for, 300 years, 250 years, something like that, and told people it's going to rain, and they'd never seen rain before. People don't know the story of the Bible. They don't know that when he took Abraham aside, he gave him promises. See, everything God does, and you can tell what his prophets do because they tell what's going to happen ahead of time, and it happens that exact way. It doesn't come partially. It's not something that haphazard God says. Every word he says happens. They had to go to where he said for 400 years. Israel was going to be slaves. He said that. I can't remember if it was Abraham or Isaac he said it to. It was before his children were born. So for 400 years, they're going to be in slavery. And then I'm going to send you someone to save you. That was Moses. You know, there are people that don't know who Moses is or what he did. Moses was used by God. He was one of the big prophets that they called back then. That's what the Jews always refer back to, is Moses, because God gave him the law to give to them. God prayed, Moses prayed, God gave him manna. Moses prayed, God opened the Red Sea. Moses didn't open it. Last night I heard a man talking about, the people rebelled against Moses. They say, hey, we can lead these people. And he told them, there was 100 of them. And he said, get your stick, because everybody had their own little, Moses had the one that opened the Red Sea, and God gave him that. And he told them to go out there and stick their poles in the dirt. Go to bed and wake up in the morning and see which one would give out fruit. Which one would live again? This is a preacher of Christ, so this is why I had to go there. When they came back, only Moses' stick had almonds on it. You know what happened to those people that were rebelling against God? God wiped them out. We try and tell people about Christ. We're supposed to be telling people about Christ all the time. From the beginning, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and Omega. Of this book, he's the beginning and the end. He's from where he says, in the beginning, God, to the end where he says, not to I knew the words and now it just left me, so I got to read it. Now, how about that? Because like I said, every word in here is important. And I don't want to mess it up. And for those of you that came in a little late, we're just going through the Bible right now. What the Bible is about, some of the books in it, some of the things you might even want to look for in it. Yeah. See, I should have used my phone, huh? And it says, and he which telleth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So he's the beginning and he's the end. When you hear about him talking about Jesus, when Moses saw the burning bush, that was Jesus. That's who he talked to. Jesus is in all throughout our history. as we go through the next books in Joshua, that's going. Now, I just want to put this in there because these are things I want you to know that are in, like, the Pentateuch. The last book is Deuteronomy. Do you know where you get your promises that God gives you? Do you know? Now, I'm not just talking about the promises of Abraham where he said he was going to give him all the seed and he was going to send Jesus. You know, all families would be blessed through him. And that's what Jesus came for. You know, I figured out there's at least five reasons that I have for saying that he come. But there are probably more. But in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it tells you, if you do what I tell you to do, and this is my interpretation of it, he says, I'm going to give you all these blessings. I'm going to bless your fields. I'm going to bless your women. None of them will be barren. None of your cattle will be barren. Your fields will not be barren. If you follow me, do what I say. Keep my commandments. Keep my statutes. Keep my testimony. But it's only like a short part of that chapter is the blessings. After you read the blessings, he comes up and he says, if you do not follow me, do my work, do my will, he said, these things are going to happen. And guess what? That's the history. That's the next part that comes in. That's the history of Israel. They got kicked out of their land. When they started off, they went in, they were doing what he said. You know, I cannot imagine going to war and the bees wiping folks out. Can you imagine not losing one soldier? Can you imagine later on when David was fighting, I think hail came down. I'm not talking about little hail. We're talking about they measured the weight of it. It was huge. It was wiping out people. It said more soldiers of the enemy died because of the hail than the men with swords and stuff that were fighting them. In another place, he said, this is why I have fear of God also. Because it blows me away that he even had trees kill him. Trees don't even move. As you read on through and you start reading like the history, I love the part. I can't remember the king's name. I thought it was one of them bad names, one of them rough names, Jehoshaphat or something. But I don't think that was him because I looked him up and it wasn't. But there's a king that he looked out and he saw five armies outside. He wasn't, someone came, they're coming, and he looked at him and he said, oh, man, they're coming. God, we can't fight them. We don't have enough strength. We don't have the power to do this. This is why he's my God. I love him. The man put on sackcloth, cried, told the whole city, pray to God. The next morning, God said, you know, y'all go outside and praise me. They're walking outside. And they're singing praises to God. Glory to your name. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. They walked out like that, and the armies killed themselves. They didn't even have a weapon. People don't read these stories in the Bible. If you don't read the Bible, you got to get it. God shows his might, his power, his grace, his glory, his mercy. The Old Testament is not something that you just pass by. You know, like I said, the New Testament explains it. When Jesus comes, he has to tell us. Because they were scared of God. I mean, they were shaking in their boots, and they were supposed to be God's people. You know, they wouldn't shake for long. Because they always did the same thing. You get the judges, like when they first come out, they say, yeah, we're going to follow God. We're going to do God's work. And then they say, oh, wait a minute. What about this guy? about that guy? Now, I hope you don't do that in your life where you just leave him. But we have a good God that says, if you do leave me, if you will repent, in other words, turn your ways, ask Christ to forgive you, and start doing what he says to do, he said, I'm going to give you everything that you had. When you're reading the Old Testament, and I love both of them, because someone asked me, you know, I said, oh, I love the Old Testament. They said, why? And no, I didn't have an answer then. But I do now. I know that it shows me God's power, God's will, God's grace. He burned up Sodom and Gomorrah and like that. He could do that to us anytime if he wanted to. He had Elijah. He called fire down from heaven. It melted. It burned the ox. It burned the water. He put water all around it. Burned the water. Burned the altar down. And so we play with God. The Old Testament tells you don't play with him. You know, and see, I used to say, I like this book, I like that book, but I loved Elijah because Elijah, you know, that wasn't the only time he brought down fire. See, he also brought it when they came to get him. The king said, come get me. He said, go get him and bring him here. Elijah, come with us. Whoosh. Another group come out, do the same thing. Elijah, come go with us. Whoosh. Elijah just wiped him out. Third one came, did the same thing. Fourth one said, hey, Elijah, you know, we know who you are. Would you please come and go see the king? The king would like to talk to you. He said, okay. You know, how do you go to God? You go to, well, God, you know, we need this right now and I want it. You don't even say please. Lord, I'm in trouble. Help me. Help me. You know, we do those, what they call them, the foxhole prayers. God, help me while I'm in here. I got to keep my time because I got two messages going here. When you're going through the Bible and you start reading his word and you start checking out what he does and how he saves people, how he fed Elijah, he had crows. Unclean birds bring him food. Where did he get the food? Probably from the king's table. God likes to do stuff like that. Nobody had food. Who had food? The king. Where did he go get the bread? Just a thought. I wasn't there, so I can't tell you that's it for sure. But where else was food? All these things are stories that you need to read and know. To hear about. And, you know, they do apply. Because guess what? When you read the New Testament, which we're going to get to in a minute, I got a little time because I tell you I'm going to do two lessons in one. But when you read the New Testament, and I was thinking about Daniel, and, you know, I always love the story of, you know, the handwriting on the wall. You know, I didn't even know that until I was an adult. I knew Daniel in the lion's den. I knew of the three Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fire, and God was with them. But the handwriting on the wall, this was after Nebuchadnezzar dies. His son and his grandson are rulers. Belshazzar, yeah, we just call him Bill. Because I can't say the name. But he was the ruler. He said, go get, you know, Nebuchadnezzar took all the things of God. All they had, gold cups, gold plates, gold stuff that they used for God, you know, to service God, in the service when they worshiped him, for when they did the offerings, all this stuff was God's stuff. He said, oh, man, he tasted the wine and said, oh, this ain't working. Y'all go, do we have some gold stuff over there? Go get that and bring it. He gave it to his family and all the people there. And when they started drinking, you know what happened? A hand started writing on the wall.
I knew, and it always blew me away because it says he said a word twice, but it meant that you have found, you've been found wanting. You're lacking. And today is your last day. That's me putting it in my interpretation because I couldn't say the word. And I didn't want to go through it and have y'all read all these things because I want to get to this other message. And you know what happened to Bell? I just tell you, no, we're going to just leave it Bell. I'm not going to keep messing it up. When he saw the writing, it says his knees got weak. They started knocking together. His countenance changed. He was scared. He turned probably white as a sheet. Somebody tell me what that says. Help me. A minute ago, he was king. I'm bad. Can't nobody say nothing to me. There's armies outside. They can't get through the wall. We can live in here for years. Nobody's going to be able to get in. He's confident. He knows he's got it. The handwriting on the wall changed everything. They had to call Daniel. By now, Daniel's probably like 60, 70. He's up in age. He comes in and says, you know, I give you this, the robe of red and the gold necklace, and you be the third ruler in the kingdom. And, you know, that's because his father had another part of the land, and he was king, and Bel was king over here. Excuse me. But when Daniel told him what was going on and told him what it said, he said, this night, you know, it reminds me of when Jesus said the man that had all the good stuff came in and he said, oh, I'm going to tear down these barns. I'm going to build more barns. And next year I'll even do better. And Jesus told him, foolish man, tonight your life is required of you. That's what was happening with him also. And that night they came in, they killed him right after he was told. The other army had gone and blocked off the water, and they came under the walls, which they figured were impenetrable. And they came in right after that, and they killed them. God is a mighty God. We need to know some of these stories. It also talks to you about the different things of tithing. It tells you everything that's in your life. Do you know it's in this Bible? It's in his word. It tells you how to live your life. When you get to the New Testament, you have the gospel. You know what that is. That's good news. So I got a mic on. Because every time I think of saying gospel, I want to jump up and holler, good news! You know, those people in the Old Testament didn't have Jesus. That don't mean they weren't saved. Some of them I believe he's saved. Because that's how God is. My God is awesome. And he does stuff I don't understand. But when you get to the New Testament, you get the good news. You get the gospel where God tells you, Jesus says, I am. When the lady at the well asked him, are you the Messiah? The one you talking to, I am. I am. That's the same thing he said at the burning bush. She got it. She went and told the whole village, all the men, all the... She was out there by herself because they looked down on her as a village. Everybody else go get the water in the morning. She went out there at noon. She was the only one besides Jesus. She goes back and she tells everybody. And they come out and they talk to him. Say, Lord, please don't leave. Stay a little while. He stayed 3 days. And when he left, they said, now we believe because you said it, but now we believe more because we talked to him. Are you talking to him? Are you reading his word? That's what the New Testament is about. It's about that we have salvation. He told them in John, I didn't want to mess with yours, brother, because I know you're going to be doing John. But I'm actually doing a study, so I said I couldn't do that. But in like the fifth chapter, he said, I don't even tell of myself. He said, I give you three witnesses. You know, back then, you had to have at least two witnesses to prove that you were right or wrong. And he told them John, the Baptist. You know, they believed him to be a prophet. So, you know, I'm telling, he's the one that said, ooh, he's the one. He pointed to him. He heard, he saw the dove come down and light upon the Holy Spirit come down. That's him. That's him. He told his disciples, go follow him. He said the scriptures. When you read the Old Testament, you see Jesus all in there. When he told Eve that, you know, your seed, women don't have seed, just to let you know, the seed of a woman is going to crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent is going to bite his foot. I'd be the one. You know, we fight from victory. We fight from victory to victory. We're not fighting to victory. He's already won. When Jesus said, it's finished, that was the, that's the part we're supposed to be working on. Because, see, he went and did more. You know, he went to the grave for 3 days and rose again to let us know that we can have eternal life. But he said the old scriptures. Moses said there's going to be a prophet that's going to do my work and explain to people how it is. You know, you think of, they said it's over 100 and, or is it 300 things that were predicting Jesus to come in the New Testament. I forgot how many. It's 100. Over 100. It's over 100. And they all came true. He was born in Bethlehem. He was born of a virgin. And it's sad because there were so many people there that missed it. The scribes, the Pharisees, the king, most of the people. It was showed to the shepherds. They were the lowlifes. They smelled like sheep. Why you don't want them even come around you? And they came into town and glorified God. The wise men came from another country. They're not even from Israel. Where's the king? They said, let me look in the books. The scribes and the Pharisees go and they look. Oh, he was born. He'd be born in Bethlehem. Here I said, go, but you know, let me know when you get him. You know, he had wrong intentions. But did you ever think not one of the Pharisees or the scribes that knew, that read, went to check it out? So see, you got to have more than just reading the Bible. You want to read to know them, but you want it in your heart. When I say in your heart, that's where you start letting him lead you. See, you can have all the knowledge you want up here. You can know about the Pentateuch. You can know about the things that I just said because I'm just saying them because a lot of people don't. They don't even know how to look for a book of wisdom. In these books in the New Testament, I ain't going to get to the other one, so that's okay, next time. In the New Testament, I didn't even get to the last one. Because he also said that God said, you know, was his witness. His words, the words that Jesus said, and the miracles that he did. You know, and people saw the miracles, and they still didn't get it. When he did when he fed I say 15,000, because they said 5,000 men, but they had their families with them. Off of 5 loaves and 2 fish. They saw, it broke from his hand. He didn't say, here, take this basket around. He blessed it, and he started passing it out. He's the bread of life. If you eat of his bread, he said, they came and they looked for him, not for eternal life, but because of the food. They came to fill their bellies the next day. And he told them, I'm sealed of God. And that day it meant a lot because, you know, you only got sealed by important people that had a ring. They had the wax. You put the wax on the letter, and you go, and they say, you better not open it. Only give it to the person I send it to. Jesus said, God sealed me to come down here and give you eternal life. And you know what they said? Show us the... show me. Show me some miracles. God gave us manna. Moses gave our fathers manna in the wilderness. Jesus said, I am the bread of heaven. He that eats of me shall never hunger again and never thirst. He's the water living life. This is why you read your Bible. I don't want you to just read it and go through it and say, oh, yeah, that was hard to read. I read stuff that God didn't never reveal to me. And don't be hurt or upset because when you read something, you don't understand it. At that moment, that time, there was a story in the book of Judges, the last one. It used to kill me because I could not understand what it was about. 2 years ago, this has been since 1988. 2 years ago, somebody preached on it and they said, oh, that's what it meant. God doesn't just use his word for the fun of it. He gives it to you when you need to know it. You know, he has the living word. You read his word, you know what? His word never changes. It's written in that book, so it's not going to change. But we change. He gives us more understanding, more knowledge, more wisdom. When you're reading through the New Testament, he shows you how Paul was knocked out, was blinded. His name was Saul. Changed his name to Paul. You know, a lot of us wonder, well, that's the way, well, you know, I'm waiting for God to do a Damascus Road ride by on me. I don't want that. You don't want that. God gave you his word. You know, at the end, before he left, he said, we're supposed to be witnesses. We're supposed to be training disciples. We're supposed to go through all the world telling everybody, even that person you don't like. And a lot of times we just tell them the words. Like, I used to know Romans. I knew Romans Road. And you tell them you're a sinner and, you know, and you just sin. They're already sinners. They know that. Most of them don't want to hear it. But when you start saying, the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. They go, They watch your life to see how you act, too. And a lot of us, we say things, and, you know, last night my wife heard somebody preaching on the TV that I was looking at, and she said, oh, he said, you know, sinners are sinners. So you don't expect them to do what Christians do. I learned that a long time ago. Because I have to go out there, and I have to be able to just tell them. Let me tell you about Christ. How come you speak every morning? How come you smile every morning? I'm trying to live his life. How come, you know, something bad happening, you still around? Jesus. They asked me, well, you know, I told them, oh, yeah, I was horrible when I was young. I did drugs, I did drinking, I did all that stuff. And they said, oh, well, tell us about that. I said, no, I got something better to tell you about. Jesus came and saved me. That's our job. And do you know why we have this hope? Jesus says he's coming again. And in the last book of the Bible, in chapter 22, he tells you, it's going to be no more sorrow, no more death, no more pain. You know, you won't even stomp your toe in the middle of the night. It's going to be no more night. The sun and the moon are not going to be our light. I'm not expecting to see a shadow. Because in God, there is no shadow, no darkness in them. Can you imagine that? You're going to walk around and say, oh, I don't even have a shadow. Really? In this, we're supposed to have that much of a thought about his world, his heaven. So when people see us, they see that reflection of us. You know, I've heard that, you know, once you become a Christian, you don't sin. I have sinned. So y'all pray for me. I pray for all of y'all. Because I'm a cracked vessel. I have to keep filling it up. Keep filling it up. But Jesus came to save us. And he said, once you're in his hand, he said, you're in my hand. Nobody can take you out. And he said, I'm in the Father's hand. You know, you make me want to stand back and dance and holler, you can't touch this. But I ain't going to do it. But see, I get happy about God. I want you to get happy about him. I want you to understand, even though he can do these awesome things, he wiped out people, he wiped out our enemy. He tells you how to treat your family. He tells you how to treat your kids. He tells you what you're responsible for in the Bible. But you got to read it. You know, everybody wants to say, well, you know, okay, now once I got saved, what do I do? You know, it's not just a one thing you do. Because, see, once he gets in you, the Holy Spirit gets in you, you change. You don't even want to do the things you were doing before. You know? And if you're not reaching out to somebody at least once a day, because I was going to do Jabez's prayer after this, because this is what I've been praying for the last 2 months. Y'all, some of you don't even know who Jabez is, because he came out in like, year 2000, 2001, and the early 2000s, everybody would go, oh, let's do Jabez's prayer. Let's do Jabez's prayer is an awesome prayer. I want you to know that. Jabez, when his mama had him, she called, Jabez actually means sorrow or pain. Can you imagine that? Hey, man, you know, Jabez, my neck. I would have been dirty because I'd have dogged him out. Oh, Jabez, my toe is hurting. You know, I thought about that. Now, the only worst thing, see, y'all are younger than me, but they used to have a song that came out, and it said, a son named Sue. A boy named Sue. He did that for him to be tough. Can you imagine having your name being pain, sorrow? When they see you, hey, sir, would you smile when you said that? But it says he did not let him get that to where it stopped him. Because it says in the Bible, it says he was more honorable than his brothers. And when he prayed, he started off, and I should be doing this from the Bible so you get it, because if you ever want to read it, it's in First Chronicles chapter 4. And it starts at 9. 9 is where it tells you his name, why his mama called him that. But he starts off, Lord, bless me indeed. In other words, bless me greatly. You know, don't you want the best from God? I do. That's what he starts off praying. Most of the time we just pray for other people. Well, let me pray for Brother Marcel. Let me pray for Brother Bill. Let me pray for Miss Nancy. Let me pray for my wife. Let me pray for Pastor. But you know what? If you're not praying for yourself, you're not sure anybody's praying for you. And when he starts off with this, he says, bless me, indeed. In other words, back then that was like, bless me big time. He said, enlarge my territory. That's not always just talking about your household. It's talking about, let me tell you something. Since I've been praying that, I'm standing here now. I'm getting to tell you about them. I work at Crossroads. I get to tell them about them. I go to Wayside. I get to tell them about them. I'm getting to tell more people and more people because I asked them to enlarge my territory. I didn't ask them to enlarge my house. I want to enlarge his territory through me. That's the territory I want to enlarge. This is what we're all supposed to be doing, right? Then he says, the next verse, he says, and Lord, put your hand upon me. So, I love that part because I need him. I want his hand to be upon me. I want him to show through me. I always ask him to show out. Guess what? I'm his, and if I'm in his hand, when I'm showing out, it's his glory that works. This is what we should all be thinking. And let me tell you something. When you start asking for that increase in territory, expect it. I'm serious. I never thought I'd be. They never called me to do Sunday school that many times before. It's just been this year. And that's what I was going to teach you on the second half. I only got a few more minutes. Then he says, and keep me from evil. It's easy to turn to evil. When his hand is upon you, guess what? When you start going out and you start doing more for him, Satan sees you. Things start happening to you. Little things, big things, they grow in big things. And you got to weather the storm because you got to go back and remember, I asked for the blessings. I ask for the territory, and I ask for your hand to be upon me. So I know you got me covered, but guess what? This evil is going to always be trying to creep up on me. So it said, keep me from evil. A lot of times we forget that part. You know, we want the blessings. We think we want the territory, but he'll give you such a blessing that you'll be going, wow. Look at this. My God always give me wow moments. I get to teach Sunday school again. Wow. You know, some people say, oh, I can't do that. Man, if you can't talk about God, you're in trouble because that's what we're supposed to be here for. This is our job. This is my duty. When we started off, I told you, I feel blessed that the Lord lets me tell people about him. And there's so much I know about him. That this was just to try and get you to go through the Bible. It's an exciting book. It's not boring. Some people, don't read Leviticus. I love Leviticus. You know, I found stuff in there. I found nuggets. I found gold in that Bible. There are all sorts of nuggets that we need. Okay, my time is just about up. But I pray, you know, you all are now fixing, all y'all, everybody in here, guess what? I need you all to, I can't even think of the word now, it just went out of my mind. I need you all to make me accountable for reading that word. This is something I want to do. If you wish to do it, get together, because it says, you need somebody to make you accountable if you're doing this stuff. I want the blessings. I want to be able to tell more people about him. I want the territory. I want his hand up on me. And I want him to keep me from evil. Because it's easy for me to say something mean. I can raise my voice. Be trying to say it nice. I asked him, enlarge, do all this for me. I want him to say, Barry was honorable. That's what he said Jabez was. I'm not talking about somebody else said that. God said it. He said he was more honorable than his brothers. I want to honor God. I want you all to honor God. No matter what problems you have or what you might think is going wrong, when you read his word, he has something in there for you. Old Testament, New Testament. If you have read through the New Testament, I advise, for me, I had to read the New Testament first. And then when I was read through the Old Testament, like I said, I kept saying, so that's why they did that. And I tell you, I get a bunch of wild moments. I get a bunch of gold. The gold the guy gave me, if I put it in my pockets, I couldn't walk. Y'all would watch and say, ooh, Brother Barry, what's wrong with you? Tell me it's too heavy. But I want that to be in your life also. Okay, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for using me. I pray, Lord, that this is a blessing to somebody. I pray, Lord, that this would not be a fad, but this would be something that we as a church start growing in. I pray for the blessing of our church, Lord. I pray for the blessing of the services to follow, Lord. I pray for all the kids in our church, those that are in the play. I pray for the Spanish ministry. I pray for the new members. I pray for all the groups, the nursery, the first and second graders, the kindergartners, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just touch everyone's heart in here today, Lord. If there's anyone that's not saved, Lord, I pray you'd bring them to yourself. I pray, Lord, that you would have them ask somebody here, because most of the people here know how to tell them to come to you. So, Lord, please, if there's anyone not saved today, that you would open their eyes and their ears and their hearts to want to come to you. And give us the strength, give us the words, the knowledge to bring them to you. Because we don't save anybody. We're just witnesses. This is what I saw God do. This is what he does. So, Lord, we thank you for your kindness. And we continue to ask you to continue to bless our day. You've already blessed it, but we want more. We want you to do more. Our church. We don't want to grow in size. We want to grow in your grace and in your knowledge. And we want people to come to hear you and know you, not for us, but for you. In Jesus' name, amen.